We're doing Tomer Dvaro. We're up to page Tetvav. We're discussing the 13 attributes of the Creator, the attributes of kindness. Ki chafetz chesed hu. Hashem seeks, he likes kindness. Kfar perashnu bimkomo sheyesh beichal yadua malachim imunim mekabel gminut chasadim shadam oseh ba'olam hazeh. We explained in another work, Rav Moshe Cordovero explained that there's a special room in heaven with specific angels whose job it is to accept the acts of kindness that man does. And when exacting justice in heaven has bad things to say, to prosecute Israel, so then right away those angels come in and say, hey, look at all the good stuff they did, look at the kindness they did. And then they arouse Hashem's mercy over Israel. Because what Hashem likes is when we actually do kindness. And even though we might be found wanting, if they do kindness to one another, then Hashem has mercy over the people of Israel. We find this idea in the time of the destruction of the temple. In heavens, it says in the prophet Ezekiel, that God said to the angel Gabriel, "Bol beinot lagalgal." Come, Hashem tells him, come approach the heavenly altar, take coals, and throw them down on Jerusalem. That's a sign about Jerusalem's destruction. So Gabriel is summoned in. Kihu saradin vakvura. The term Gavriel comes from the word givura, might. He's the one that represents might and justice. Venitan lo rishut lekabel kochot adin benot lagalgal mitacht lakuvim yesh hamizbeach. So he was told, come, you have permission, take coals from this heavenly fire by the angels. Dainu din gvurat hamalchut. So that's a representation. The coals he was supposed to throw on Jerusalem represented Hashem's judging Jerusalem and destroying it. Vayadin mitchazek ad shebikesh lechalot hakol. And in fact, we were found so guilty at that time that in heavens there was a thought to destroy everything. There should be no remnant. Lekakea betzatan sheYisrael. To completely destroy the form of Israel. Because in heaven they found us so guilty that we were deservant of that. And then it says in the verse, the angels suddenly saw the shape of a human hand appear under their wings. That idea that a hand appeared represents the hand that gives kindness, the hand that gives to his fellow man. And even though if they've been found guilty, nitzolu, they'll be saved. And Israel was not completely obliterated. There were Jews left over, and that's the continuation of the Jewish people. By what merit? By the merit that we do kindness to one another. And that's this attribute. Ki chafetz chesed hu. Hashem desires our kindness. What Hashem wants to see is how we do kindness to one another beyond the call of duty. And then this aspect of the Jewish people makes claims on our behalf, even though from other aspects we are really found guilty. But this aspect speaks up on our behalf, the idea that we do kindness to one another. So now Rav Moshe Cordovero takes this trait and applies it to us too. And that's a lesson to us about how we should behave. So you see someone that's upsetting you. They're not being nice to you. It could be a roommate, it could be a spouse, it could be a child, it could be a friend, it could be a teammate. Sad tova shemetiv la'acherim. What happens when the average person gets upset at someone? So I don't like him. I can't stand him. He's so annoying. He's the worst. He's the scum of the earth. People will even tell, when I was growing up, people used to say, drop dead. That was a line that kids used to say. What do you mean? So he got you annoyed. So he cut you off in the race. You tell him to drop dead. But that can happen. Meaning a person can get so carried away that nothing else exists when they're upset at someone. And here Hashem shows us that when we do things wrong, and even though we might be very wrong, Hashem says, but there's a good side to them. And so that's the way we should look at other people. Even if they do certain things wrong, we should be able to see that there is a good side to them. if they're kind to other people, or omidat tova shemitnei kashuha, or some other aspect in which they behave correctly. That should be enough that a person should calm his anger and desire kindness with the person. A person should say, okay, so he has this aspect, that's enough. And Rav Moshe Cordoviro goes out of his way here and he says, this is certainly true with regards to one's wife. As our sages say in Tractate Yevamos, what should a person expect from a wife? Okay, every person can make a whole long list. I know what I want, right? I'm married. Better. But every person can make a list. So our sages said there are norms, there are things that a person can expect within a marriage, and then there's the perspective you should have once you're in there, and that is what the Talmud says, Dayenu. It's enough for us, Shemegadlot et banenu, that they bring up our kids, Umatzilot otanu minachet, and they're there for us, that we don't go roaming the streets, we don't go sinning, we know that there's intimacy waiting for us at home. Ah, she yells at you, she breaks the dishes, she's not so good with money, she speaks like there was no tomorrow, she can't keep a secret, she can't hold on to a job, she has all kinds of weaknesses, so what? Is she doing the bare minimum? Yeah, the minimum is, can you two be together as husband and wife? Yes. Is she bringing up the kids? Yes. But she doesn't know how to bake well, and she destroys all the pans, and she always burns everything she makes, right? So there are things you'd like. But when we look at marriage, there's pre-marriage, what am I looking for? And then there's post-marriage. But she has a bad sense of humor, and she's not smart enough to understand my jokes, and when she makes jokes, they're not even funny. You could go on and on. She doesn't shower often enough. She showers too often. She never cleans the house. She cleans every 3 hours. Everyone has a reason to say it's not, something's wrong here. This isn't right. She thinks her father's the greatest person in the world. She thinks my mother's the worst person in the world. She thinks our children are geniuses. She argues with the teachers. She doesn't understand the teachers. Teachers don't understand her. She makes fun of me. She makes fun of her. You could say a lot of things. Everyone can find reasons to say why their spouse is not up to par. Our sage said, you know what the minimum is? Those 2 points. Is she bringing up the kids? Are you guys together like husband and wife? That's it. But wait a second. But I want more than that. Okay, when you're dating, you'll look for more than that. But if you have that, and that's a very important perspective, because people say, what do you mean? My home should be my castle. Come on, there's normalcy in the world. Why can't I expect that my wife will listen to me? Why can't I expect that I'll share with her what's going on in my day? Why is it that every advice she gives me is bad? Why is it that everything I do, she has something bad to say about it? Why is it that she's upset every time I walk into the house? Oh, you could give a million reasons why marriage stinks, but it doesn't. Really, it's a wonderful thing. What's difficult is our attitude, our expectations. People are expecting Hollywood and the romance and the movies. Romance is a part of marriage. But the essence of marriage is that we're building life together. And building life together doesn't have to be that she's the greatest chef, that she's the most talented at running the finances. Okay. Chazal gave us a minimum. And kach yomar al kol adam, just as a person should be able to look at his wife and say, she's bringing up the kids, she's not doing 500 other things you'd want her to do. So maybe you have to change perspective. Chazal said, look at what she's doing right. Dai li betova plonit she'asali o she'asayim ploni o midat tova plonit she'yesh lo. Person should be able to look at someone else and say, they've done this much good. If not to me, to other people. Can I see the good in someone? If I am like the Ribbono Shalom, Chafetz Chesed, where Hashem says, I want to see what's right. Okay? Now, if you think about it, you will find that there's a balance in life. Ask yourself, how many times do you see what's wrong with something? What's wrong with the class? What's wrong with the school? What's wrong with your room? What's wrong with the chavrusa? What's wrong with your cell phone? What's wrong with your computer? What's wrong with the app? Yeah, there are. What's wrong with the internet connection? How many times do you look at life and say, what's wrong with it? And how many times do you look at life and say what's right with it? When we look at what's wrong, we're focused on the negative, then we will always see negative. Nothing's going to last. Nothing's going to be forever a source of joy, because we'll always be able to find something wrong with it. And the same will hold true with one's spouse and one's children and one's shul and one's rabbi and their teachers and one's job. There's always room to look at it and say, this isn't what I want. I should be paying more for. I should be getting paid more for this time. I should have more benefits. I shouldn't have to show up so early. I should have free coffee. Why do I have to pay for the coffee? There are a million reasons why a person can be annoyed during the day. You could be. The coffee's too hot. The coffee's too cold. You know, I sometimes ask people, is the water wet? You took a shower. The water was wet, so it's good. No, it's good water we have here. But think about it for a second. How many things do we look at life and say that's wrong? How many things do we look at life and say that's right? A person can gauge himself. Am I a positive person or not? And if I'm not, then I can change that. That's one of the things we're learning here. It's a habit. A way of thinking is a habit. Will I look at what's right? Will I look at what's wrong? And that's a habit. You could check yourself. Check yourself. How many things do you think about? This room is too hot. This room is too cold. This class is too long. He's talking too much up there. Why doesn't he move on already, right? We got the point. But think about it. Think about it. No, it's a rule in life. Yes, you're Mio.
No, I just had a question regarding what Chazal said about the bare minimum with regard to what you should expect from the spouse. Is that the bare minimum to continue the marriage or in dating in general, right?
We said pre-marriage and post-marriage. Pre-marriage, okay, right. You look for a lot of things right. That'll match.
Then it's okay to say, like, oh, she's not a good cook, so it's not...
I wouldn't break a shidduch for that. You know, cooking is something you could learn. But you could say there are certain standards that are important to you, and that's every person develops that. We have a series on dating at the end of the year. After Pesach, after Shavuos, we go through how to date. Now, from now until Shavuos, we learn how to build the marriage. Dating is hopefully a finite thing, and marriage is infinite. It's your whole life, right? So we spend most of the year talking about marriage. But that's the midah that Rav Moshe Cordoviro says. Can I look at a person and see what's right about them? Ah, they're doing something that's annoying me. Does that blind me? Or can I see the rest of them? It's known that Rav Nachman said, even a penny, even the smallest coin can blot out the sun. You just have to put it near your eye and you won't see the biggest thing. You won't see the sun. And that's the way a person can be with regards to other people. If they did something that annoys him, no, let him drop dead, right? So his whole life is worthless just because he annoyed me. So, no, it's not that way. But that takes maturity. That takes maturity and an ability to look at what's right. And people who don't have that end up going from job to job, from community to community, and they're never happy. Hopefully they don't go from wife to wife. Sometimes people just spend their life groveling together. But it's an attitude, and now's the time to change it, guys. Now, before you get married, before you run into life and see that everything's upsetting. No, everything's not upsetting. Everything's wonderful. And everything has its challenges. But that's a part of life. That's a part of living. An aunt of mine once told me a beautiful line. She said, you should always be busy with normal things. I said, what do you mean? She said, a child breaks a tooth, that's a normal thing. They break a hand, that's a normal thing. There are things that are a normal part of being a parent. That's called normal. Don't get so excited, so your kid broke his hand. Okay, so what? You have to get all worked up. That's part of normal. You bring up kids. So kids need stitches and kids get hurt. Kids get banged around, right? They're going to ride bikes. They're going to run around. They're going to fall. That's normal. But how many people get all upset if their kid needs stitches? Oh, my gosh! Yeah, a friend of mine, his daughter dropped a radiator on her foot, I think, and she started bleeding. He fainted. Got so excited. Oh my gosh! Boom! Now his wife has to deal with both of them, right? What are you getting all worked up for? So it's okay. So she hurt herself. You got to deal with it. But it's an attitude. Am I going to get all worked up over things, or am I going to deal? We were riding on the bus 2 weeks ago. And a friend of mine was on the bus in front of us. And he sends me an SMS, and he says, there's an Arab who threw rocks at us just now. What number should I call to get security out here to deal with it? Because he's going to throw rocks at the next cars that come. And I'm thinking, oh boy, I'm 5 minutes up the road from where he is. He didn't realize. He didn't know. He thought I was home. I said, okay. So I right away called the police. And I didn't answer his SMS because I figured I'll deal with it. The time it'll take the SMS is too long. I called the police. I called the army. And then I went around the bus and I said to people, you know, down the road there's an Arab throwing rocks. Let's pull down the shades. So if it hits the windows, if a window smashes, we shouldn't get glass into the bus. People went ballistic. People went out of their minds. So he's throwing a rock. Okay, you know, it's not going to kill anyone. We could look at it. We know it's coming, right? We can deal with it. So it's a choice in life. If there's a problem, do I panic or do I deal? We have to deal. Problems are, life has problems. Life, you know, we deal with that. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. If you panic, if it envelops the picture, if now you can't see anything but the problem, then you have a problem. There's a story of a Hasidish Rebbe. Chassid came to him and asked him for a blessing. And the Rebbe blessed him. He said, you should have many problems in your life. So the Chassid said, Rebbe, what kind of blessing is that? So the Rebbe said, well, when life is normal, you have many problems. But if God forbid there's a serious problem, if God forbid there's something that's really big, then you don't have many problems. And nothing else interests you. Then you don't care about your rent going up or your job being problematic. Or nothing matters but that one problem. It's a blessing in life. When you have many problems, it means none of them are too big. None of them fill the screen. So we have to have that perspective in life. Normal problems are a part of normal life. We don't have to get worked up. We have to deal. Not get too worked up. And that's the perspective. Tomer Dvorah says, look at what's right in life. Don't just look what's wrong. Look what's right with your fellow man, with your spouse.